right, everybody. Welcome to StadiaCast, episode number 147. Recording this one on Sunday, March 20th, 2022. I'm Lloyd. Bill's not here again this week. So we'll address that first thing off. Bill's fine. Everything's okay. He's not sick. But there is, there has been a small change to Bill's life. He's now a grandpa. His daughter had her baby, and Bill is taking time to visit with the family and all that stuff. So he wasn't able to make it this week for the show. So if we can all congratulate Bill on his new addition to his family, that's got to be huge for him and everybody involved. So it's going to be a second week straight of a solo StadiaCast, which is good. We can talk about a lot of stuff that has been happening over the last week. So I'm going to turn this music off. Make sure that that is stopped and not going to pop up and be noisy. It looks like it's going to be okay. So anyway, this is StadiaCast. This is our weekly Stadia news show here on NerdNest.tv. You can check out all the stuff we do on NerdNest.tv. Bill's been putting up just a metric ton of Steam Deck videos. So if you want to know how Steam input works, if you want to know how different games run, how to get streaming games working through Microsoft Edge, Bill's been putting up a lot of great videos because we did get a review unit that Bill is using to make all this content. So if you want to check out that stuff, you can do that. He has tried streaming Stadia. We'll talk about that maybe. Maybe not this week. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. But there's some really great content. You can check all that stuff out at nerdnest.tv. If you want to support the show, there's a bunch of ways to do it. The first is you just hit the little thumbs up and the little subscribe and join and all those other buttons. Do the YouTube stuff. Ring the bell. Whatever the YouTubers used to say back in the day. Make sure you do that, because that stuff really does help. It helps the algorithm. It helps raise our videos up in popularity, and more people get to see it. So if you can't help other ways, that is the best way that you can help our show here. But of course, if you want to ask questions and things like that, we also do super chats and applause, super applause, or whatever they're called now. So you can do that as well. If you want to ask a question, we get to those at the end of the show when we get into the crowd play section. So the super applause, that's if you're not watching live. If you're catching this after the fact, people do super applause because that is a thing over on YouTube, which is fantastic. So anyway, I think that's it for our preamble. Congrats again out to Bill and his family. That is fantastic news. And hopefully we'll get to talk to Bill next week so we can hear all about it and all the video games he played with his new grandson. Oh, wait, maybe it's a little too young for that. Maybe we don't know. All right. Well, let's jump into the show. So we like to get started here normally with what we've been playing. I kind of been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed Valhalla. And a lot, I'm going to put it in air quotes. I'll get my other finger up on the screen so you can actually see it. I've played probably 2-3 hours this week, just because some other things have been going on. I absolutely love this game. I love the addition. So I didn't talk about it last week, but one of the big additions to the Dawn of Ragnarok. It's not part of the season pass. It's just a standalone expansion for the game. It's not standalone where you can play it by itself, but it's DLC that is outside of the normal DLC pass that came when the game came out. And it's a completely separate story. But the coolest part about this story is you get the ability to copy powers. So there's 5 powers, I want to say. So there's the fire giants, there's frost giants, there's birds, which they're doing on screen right now. And if you watch right now, you get the ability to shapeshift into a bird so you can fly. It's ridiculous. I didn't want to spoil that last week. I gave people a week to get into this one. It's been all over. Favorite new power in the game is jumping in and playing with the different shape-shifting things. But seriously, changing into a bird completely changes the game. You can go from Where you are, you can, after you've upgraded the power to max, you can travel about 500 meters before you have to re-engage that power. But in Dawn of Ragnarok, there's these pillars, these Mustelthem. I don't know how to say it because they don't say it out loud, or maybe they do and I just forgot. But there's these pillars that are floating in the air. They look like shards of like a jewel or whatever. And when I first started the game, I'm like, how the heck do I get up there? Because I can see there's yellow dots. So there's obviously treasure to get up there. How do I get up there? And then I find out that you can turn into a raven and climb up there. And it is so incredibly amazing. There's also a new class of equipment. So previously, you could do, there's kind of like reddish, which is like common. And I guess even before that, there's gray, then it's reddish, then it's blue, and then you could get up to gold, which is kind of like the legendary, armor class, armor level, weapon level. All the items in the game would go up to that. With this new expansion and the lead up to this new expansion, you can upgrade your equipment one more level. It becomes kind of greeny blue, almost like an aquamarine. And when you're playing in the Dawn of Ragnarok worlds, if you have your all of your equipment is upgraded to that level, you don't take fall damage at all. So you can go up to one of these pillars that's like 600 meters in the air and you can just jump off and you do like a swan dive. And then as soon as you're about to hit the ground, you do a nice little tuck roll. So they've really, really kind of changed the core gameplay loop for this game, because not only are you getting new powers, but these powers aren't really hamstringing you at all as you make your way through the game. So I've been doing kind of the side quest stuff, collecting things off the map. I'm maybe halfway through the story. It's about people say about 15 hours or so to get through all of the story content in this game. I'm just absolutely loving it. When I'm not playing it, that's the game that I want to get in and play. I love the fact that you're Eivor, but you're not. You're Odin. you're a different character entirely, and kind of how they make sense of that, because you're in the Animus, so obviously your genetic memory has to make sense, or your replay of your genetic memory has to make sense of it for the person that's in the Animus. If you follow kind of like the storyline of Assassin's Creed. So they do it really funny. Like you're talking and it's like, oh, I have many names, because you have like eight names by the time that you're playing through this content. Really, really fun. I haven't beaten it, as I said. And the only thing that I wish is that I could take these powers outside of this DLC. Like if I could grab the shape changing, shape shifting stuff and go to the main game to help my exploration, it would be amazing. Maybe that gets unlocked when you beat the game. I'm not sure. I haven't looked into it because I don't want to be spoiled on anything like that. But if it doesn't, I hope that comes at a later point, because the ability to, when you are an ice giant, you can do teleport assassinations with your bow. So you can teleport, assassinate someone from like 150 meters away, as long as you can target them with your bow's reticule. And then you can turn into a bird. They've just added so many amazing powers. And then there's when you are the frost giant, I believe you can reanimate corpses as well. Or no, that's not the frost one. That's the one that looks like an axe. I can't remember what they call it. I think it's like power or strength. That's the bottom left on the screen right now when they were looking at it. So when you kill enemies, you can bring them back to life and you get like this horde of zombies that fight for you. It reminds me a lot of the Necromancer class from Diablo as well. So much fun. I don't know what else I can say about this one. I'm just having so, so much fun playing through this content. If you are a fan of Assassin's Creed Valhalla, there's definitely less exciting things that you can do in the game if you're not playing this, this content. It really change things enough for me to get me back into exploration, because I was getting kind of tired with the exploration. Like if you want to get, for example, all the achievements in this game, which I'm not going to do, you have to basically remove every white, blue, and yellow dot from your map. That's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of puzzles and quests and lost and found kind of searches things that you have to do in the game. it's just a ridiculous amount of content. And I was kind of growing kind of tired of doing that. So I was just like, I'm going to go around. I'm going to collect some more weapons, collect some more armor, some more skills, but I'm not really going to do the rest of the content. And then I get into Dawn of Ragnarok and I have an obsession with removing every single icon off the map again. So good job, Ubisoft. You got me. You got me again. I hope that's what you planned because you did it well. So, yeah, I've been really, really, really enjoying Assassin's Creed Dawn of Ragnarok. Very much worth playing in my eyes if you are a fan of Assassin's Creed. Adding these new powers, I don't know how I'm going to play another Assassin's Creed game that comes after this one where you don't get those types of powers. It just completely changes kind of the way that you make your way through the game, how you climb buildings. Well, you're not climbing anymore. You can just fly to the top. Yeah, it's so, so awesome. Really, really loving it. So that's Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Dawn of Ragnarok that I've been playing a lot of. But that's not it. I've been playing some other stuff, a little bit of it. I also had a chance to check out Mad Streets, got a review code for this one. I'm going to be doing a first look, hopefully today. Hopefully want to get that up on our channel today, maybe tomorrow. I want to do some multiplayer with my family, and I haven't had a chance because they're out doing some other things. So we haven't had a chance to play multiplayer, so maybe we'll get that in today. And if that's the case, then we can play through some of these games. But this is gameplay over by CGX. They put up a video of how this game works. And so what Mad Streets is, it's a 1-4 player party fighting game. But you can see if you're... Oh, I don't have the browser up on the screen yet. My bad. It is a game that is very much a physics-based game. So if you're familiar with, like, Goat Simulator or Octodad, where... You have different buttons for different limbs, and like you're all wobbly when you're walking because you're controlling all this stuff. Thankfully, in this game, you're not controlling like your different legs with different sticks or anything like that, which is crazy. But basically, when you're playing the game, each of the face buttons does a different thing. So it's like left arm, right arm, left leg, right leg, or vice versa. The thing's backwards, so I was probably wrong there. So when you're getting into combos, you're like doing XY, XY to do like your left, right punches, and then your kicks, and then different combos are possible. So if you hold down two buttons at one time, you might do a kick to the head. If you hold down the trigger buttons, you do different grabs and grapples. So you can grab onto someone and then do like kicks, and you'll do like a weird spinning kick and things like that. It is ridiculous. And I guess my favorite part about this game is it's very much like a Street Fighter in style, where you have some characters that are very Street Fighter-like, but it has like different stages where you're breaking cars, and then it has stages that are like Final Fight, where you're going through levels and breaking things, and it has stages that are like this fighting game, and stages that are like that fighting game, and it's completely filled with unlocks. Like, I played a couple quick matches going through, and I unlocked this stage, or I unlock this weapon, or I unlock this thing. So it looks like it's more a party game than like a serious brawler, a serious fighting game that's going to be at Evo, for example. But I could see this being just a blast if you're in a group of people and you want to have a party game that you can play together. It reminds me so much of a game like Power Stone, where sure, it's a fighting game, but it's also a lot of the fun comes with just being together with a group of people and just doing ridiculous things, throwing stuff from way across the map, or walking into fire and getting lit on fire, and then going to grapple other people and spreading that to other people. Really excited about playing this one with the family. It is very weird. It is a very weird game because of the weird physics. So it's not a precise brawler, but I think this game is going to be a hell of a lot of fun. Some nice other features about this game is it does support multiplayer crossplay, so you can play this game against other platforms. I believe when I tested it, it wasn't working on Stadia, but the developers have said that is going to be something that is going to be working across all the different versions. So you'll be able to play people on Xbox or PC or PlayStation or whatever, which is going to make finding multiplayer matches that much easier. And then there's also a bunch of different kind of gameplay additions that the developers have been talking about. Like, yeah, we want to add this, or yeah, this isn't supposed to happen this way. We're looking into ways that we can fix it. So it does seem like the developers are very eager to, I don't know, make the game better, which is great. This game has been out for, I guess, almost a year on other platforms. So it's good that they're not just porting it and then leaving it the way it is. They are going to be working on some other stuff with it. And just like some other games that have recently appeared on Stadia, there's no achievements. So the people that are collecting achievements, you won't be able to get that for this game, at least not right now. Hopefully those will get added to the game in time. So yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing these days on Google Stadia. What are you all playing? Let me know in the chat room. Maybe we'll bring some of those comments into the show as we work our way through into the rest of the show. All right, let's move on. Let's get into new releases. So we got a couple different releases here on Stadia. Let's see if I can actually, if I can type it in here. I don't think I can. I don't think I can view it right now. No, they haven't made that change. We'll get to what that change is in a little bit. But there's a couple new games that hit the store. First one is Trivial Pursuit Live 2, which is obviously Trivial Pursuit on Stadia. This game wasn't even announced that it was coming to Stadia. It actually was in people's libraries before it was even in the store. If you had, say, an Ubisoft Plus, so everyone's like, how did I get this game? I don't understand. And then 6 hours later, it was published to the store where you could pick it up. This looks like a game I want to pick up for sure to play with my wife and kids. I think this would be a fun puzzle game, or trivia game rather, not a puzzle game, to have on Stadia. People that are watching it and playing it seem to be enjoying it. So definitely check that out if you're into, I don't know, kind of trivia games that you can play with your friends and family. And then, of course, Mad Streets, which we just talked about, has come out on Google Stadia as well. But that's not all. If you are heading over to the Stadia community blog, there is now another next up on Stadia. So we have two new games that are going to be coming to Stadia. We have Elemental War 2 and Lumote, the Master Mote Chronicles, which will be arriving in May. So we're going to be getting a couple great games here on Stadia. I wasn't familiar with either of these, but Wired Productions is bringing Lumote. This game comes May 1st. There was a tweet and then a deleted tweet that said it was coming to Pro. So this might actually be a Pro game. This might be an early announcement for a May Pro title. The tweet was deleted, so maybe it was a mistake. We don't know. We'll find out more close to May. But Lumote is this really cute and fun puzzle game. So you are, I guess, looking to bring light to the world to get rid of the corruption. And you're this weird, like, plant blob creature thing with, like, four legs that really aren't legs. They're more tentacles, and you have tentacles on top. It reminds me of, like, a creature that you would see in Spore or something. But the puzzle elements of this game look really, really interesting. So you have a cute character, of course. There is a massive world is what the developers are saying. Complex and evolving puzzles, electronic sounds, which is a weird thing to add as a feature of your game, and powered by R Engine. So they're using R Engine to make this game, which I guess if you're into game engines or if you played other games that have used that engine, maybe you are excited about that. But I am excited about this game. Because you can squish, bop, and bounce your way through the great depths, an underwater world filled with motes, bioluminescent creatures who spend their lives deep in the bioverse, living on the rhythms of an electronica soundscape. So this one looks very, very, very interesting. But that's not it. So we have Lumote coming May 1st. You can see all the cute and fun stuff that they're talking about. But then we have this game, Elemental War 2, and I am actually really excited about this one because it is a tower defense game. It is a looks like it's a kind of an old school tower defense game that is set in kind of a 3D world. So similar to like Orcs Must Die in that regard, where you have kind of a 3D world and you're setting towers and these 3D characters are walking their way through it. But this one seems more tower defense-y than, say, Orcs Must Die, which for me was more of a first-person shooter where you could put traps out. This one seems like it is kind of an old-school tower defense game, which looks really good. This game, Elemental War 2, will be coming out on May 6th. It is from Clockwork Origins, and it will be on Stadia. So the features that they're talking about in the blog, popular tower defense game principle with new gameplay elements, face powerful elementals and their special abilities, solve quests to unlock upgrades to your towers, and you can play 11 varied maps in 3 unique environments. Forest, ice, and desert. You can play alone or in co-op mode, and then you can play against your friends on the leaderboard. So pretty standard fare from a feature standpoint, but tower defense games, those were like all the rage for a while, kind of when iOS gaming was new. There were so many really amazing tower defense games that came out, and it was kind of like this new genre. It wasn't new, it existed before, but it was kind of a newly popular genre. And like every second game that came out for a while was a tower defense game, and I had so much fun with all of these. That's kind of changed. Not so many of those games getting released anymore, at least not that I'm familiar with, because I don't pay super attention to what's happening on iOS. But I haven't played a tower defense, but this one has like dragons and like dinosaurs and zombies and earth elementals. It looks like this varied collection of different animals and creatures and enemies to play through. So yeah, looks really, really interesting. So I am very much excited about Elemental War 2 coming to Stadia on May 6th. And then of course Lumo, which we talked about, coming May 1st, which makes me think that it might be a pro title. We'll see. We'll see what happens. So I don't know. Are you folks planning on picking any of these up at all? Is this a game that that you're excited for? Are you going to be picking it up? Definitely let us know below. We'd love to chat about it as we move on into the show. All right, so that was what we've been playing, new releases, and the next up on Stadia. But people are probably very interested to see what happened with the Google for Games Developer Summit. So I didn't take time off work, unfortunately. There's a lot of crazy stuff that's going on because of back to school and things like that. So I've been extremely busy at work, so I couldn't take the time to kind of devote my whole day to it. It's probably a good thing that I didn't do that, because there really wasn't much for us, except if you are someone that is very big into game development. There was a lot of developer-focused things. Who would have thought a developer summit had stuff that is mainly focused on developers? But they did have a keynote. There was a keynote that came out right near the end. So the Google, I guess, kickoff keynote thing was about an hour and 15 minutes, something like that. And they started the Google stuff at like an hour and 4 minutes. So it was about 10 minutes and change of Google Stadia stuff. I said the Google stuff, I meant the Stadia stuff. They started Stadia right at the end. And it was about, I don't know, 10 or so minutes about Stadia. So they did talk about Stadia, which is great. But they didn't talk a lot about different things. So let's go through some of the stuff that is coming to Stadia as announced by Corinne Yap, who is from Google. What's her title? I always forget. Let's wait for that to come up. Come on. I'm fast forwarding too much. We'll let this play. So her name is Corinne Yap, and she's the strategic business development. That's her title for Google Stadia. So I guess the big items that they talked about, and then we'll get into some of the things in more detail as we make our way through it. But some of the biggest items that they talked about, one that I can't believe wasn't there before, and that is the ability to browse the Google Stadia store without logging in. That isn't there yet, but it will be coming. So in the future, you'll be able to go to stadia.google.com/store if you're not logged into your Stadia account, or you don't have to create a Stadia account. And then you can see what games are there. You can see what games are available, what games are on sale, what is free, what comes with Pro, all these other things, which we've talked about here on the show for a while. Like, why can't you do this? Well, we know why you can't do it. Google doesn't want people to look at a storefront to see how many games are on the service if there's 20, 30, 40 games. But now Google has over 200. So I hope that that is the reason that they have enough games that they want people to see it. because I mean, that is a big thing to do. You want people to look at your store and browse. I really wish that as a feature of this new feature, an additional feature of this feature, I guess, that you can see the prices of games if you already own them. I used to hate that PlayStation Store didn't do that back in the day, and then they changed it and it was huge. And then Nintendo did that. And then I think Xbox does that as well. For us content creators, it makes a huge difference. Maybe it doesn't matter for people, general people out there, because if you've already bought a game, you don't really care what the price of the game is. But for people like us that want to pull up that information without having to log out or change to a different account that isn't part of your family group, there were so many workarounds that we had to do. It looks like that isn't going to be a thing that you have to do here now on Stadia, or in the near future on Stadia. As another feature of the browsing the store without logging in, you're going to be able to finally search for Stadia titles. Imagine that. Google's own search engine actually, I don't know, cataloging all the Google stuff that is on Stadia that you can search for. Just mind blown that they just thought of this. Obviously, something that should have been there from early on. It wasn't. So hopefully that'll come very, very soon. And then one of the rough edges around Stadia will disappear when they do that. Other things, the Google Stream, which was the white label product that Google was working on, now has a new name. It's called Immersive Stream. I don't know why they made the name change, maybe to get the taste out of people's mouths from that Business Insider article, change the name, and then you can say clearly Business Insider was wrong because it's not called Google Stream. It's called Immersive Stream. What are you talking about? Maybe that's the reason. We don't know. It doesn't really matter. That's the name for the white label service. And they spent a lot of time talking about that in a lot of the different tracks and videos. But they did talk about it a lot on this keynote, which is really good. And then I guess last but not least, there was Stadia.google.com. Let me bring that up real quick. I didn't pre-get that ready because I wasn't thinking ahead. So let me do that really fast. So if you go to stadia.google, if I could type /games. So if you go to stadia.google.com/games when you're not logged in, which I just did because I'm not logged in on this computer, this is the new thing that greets people. And this is actually kind of huge. It's basically going to show a bunch of the free trials right at the top. So you can see you can play Grime for 120 minutes. You can play MotoGP 21 for 60 minutes. You can play Adventure City Calls Paw Patrol for 30 minutes. Risk of Rain for 60. SteamWorld Dig for 30. Jackbox Party Pack 8 for 30. And Yeez 9 Monstrum Nox for 120 minutes for free, which is great. So now I'm someone's talking about Stadia, or they see someone wearing a shirt, or they see a banner ad or something. They're like, what's this Stadia thing? So they go search, what is Stadia, somehow find their way over to stadia.google.com/games. And then they can basically click here and say, well, I want to play Risk of Rain. So they click play 60 minutes for free. I'm going to get out of here. Probably shouldn't have brought that up because that has my email. Everyone knows what my email address is, so it doesn't really matter. But they can click that and then they sign into a Google account. They don't have to create a specific Stadia account. They just have to create a Google account. And then when they go in, they can basically play the game immediately without creating an account, without signing up for Pro, without punching in their credit card. They can just click the link, sign into their Google account, and then play Risk of Rain for 60 minutes. Super easy peasy. Doesn't get much more easy than that. I'm actually really impressed with how quick and easy it is to get in and play that, because that is a very, very good thing for people to do. So yeah, you can check all that stuff out. And then if people aren't interested in playing these game trials, you can go down and you can see what other games you can play with Stadia Pro. So it's free games, more every month. Keep them as long as you're a Stadia Pro member. So very, very easy, very quick, and simple to understand. But people coming to this page can say, okay, well, I can just play these games right now for some time. Or I can join, get a free month of Pro, and I can play Dawn of Monsters and Life is Strange and Control and Terraria and Crata and Hitman. This is a good advertising. This is a very good way to advertise to people. I very much enjoy this page here. And then they go down to the bottom and it's like, okay, so you didn't want the free trials. You didn't want to play any of the games that are on Pro, but now there's more great games waiting for you in the Stadia store, which is fantastic. So if you go there, you can basically scroll all the way down and see, oh, Dirt 5 Year 1 or Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation. I want to play that, or I want to play this, or I want to play that. Just a way of advertising to people, because in the past, the Google page, if you weren't logged into, the Stadia page, if you weren't logged into a Stadia account, was just sign up for Stadia. And then it would have an old banner ad of like Control or an old banner ad of a game that isn't really new to the service. Now there's no questions. You can play these game trials for free. You can get these games for free if you sign up for Pro, or you can buy these games right at the bottom of the page. If there's a specific game you want, you can now browse them. In the future, you'll be able to click this link. I'm sure you'll be able to click Rainbow Six Extraction and it will take you right to the store. They showed off a new store look as well that looks way more modern, something similar to what you would get on like an Xbox. Hopefully that comes to all the platforms as well. So not just something that you can just browse on a web browser. Maybe that'll be something you can browse down the road on your CCU or something. That would be a really great addition to the service so people can see what other stuff is available. Making some big changes to the way that the service looks, the service runs, and how the service treats potential new future customers. Not just the people that that already know about the service, but people that are curious about the service. Now there's going to be, or soon, there's going to be a friction-free way of checking out what Stadia is by playing a game, browsing the store, seeing what you get for Pro, and then finding maybe a game that you just want to come right out and pay for directly. Huge additions. Obviously, not some of the additions that people were looking for. They were hopeful for game announcements. Right before this event, Google came out and said, we're not announcing new games this week. This is not something that we're doing, but you'll be able to do this, 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 and this. So again, some really great functionality that is being added to Stadia just to make the service something that people expect out of a modern store-based platform. It's not like like GeForce Now, for example. You expect not to be able to browse a store because it's not a store. But Google Stadia, you would expect that you could browse a store and search for the store and look for this and look for that because, well, not only is Google a search engine, but they have other stores that work very much like that. You can browse the Android store or the Google App Store without actually being on your phone. You can just go on the web. Why you couldn't do that with Stadia up until now, who knows, but they are fixing that, which will get rid of another rough edge, which is a really good thing. So let us know what you think about that in the comments, and hopefully we can chat about that down the road as we get later into the show. But they did show some other things. One of the the main parts of the development track was talking about what Google is now calling low change porting. So it's not like the Steam Deck, for example, that you can basically take a game that isn't made for Linux and run it through Proton and other compatibility layers. That's not what Stadia is doing, and there's a lot of reasons for it. When we get to our next subject, talking about the Windows game stuff, we'll maybe talk briefly. They got very, very technical, very, very fast during that presentation. I loved it. A lot of people were like, well, what does this mean? So maybe we won't talk about all that stuff because we don't want to really deal with confusing people. So I'll try to put it into layman's terms. So what Google is doing now with the low change porting is basically giving developers the ability to run their Windows games through an emulator of sorts. It's not an emulator. That's a word that a lot of people understand. But it's more of a translation layer. So the reason why, and actually maybe we can talk about it all together. We don't really need to separate out the talk for how to write a Windows emulator on Linux. That session, which was super, super, super technological, technical, I guess would be the word for people that maybe don't know tech. We'll talk about it all here because it is all part and parcel. So during that event, and that was this one here, you had the person, the lead for this project. His name is it's Marcin Undak. I hopefully that is how you pronounce his name, Marcin or Markin, but it's probably Marcin. To basically tell what they were doing about this Windows emulator. So it's not really an emulator. It is a translation layer. And they really talked about why the Stadia platform can't run Proton. Because one of the big comments when Steam Deck was coming out is like, oh, you can run your Windows games unpatched on the Steam Deck through Proton compatibility layer. And everyone's like, well, why doesn't Stadia just take Proton and throw it onto their platform, and then this problem goes away? Well, there's a very simple reason. The version of Linux that Stadia is using, or that Google is using rather, for Stadia isn't really Linux. It's not your standard Linux. It's not like you're downloading Red Hat or Ubuntu or any of those other Linux distros and installing it on a piece of bare metal hardware. It is a very stripped down version of a Linux kernel. So there's no windowing support. So you can't bring up it like an X Windows program when you're running on the Stadia Blade. A lot of the things for access to the file system and other things that would just be there if you're used to Linux installing, I don't know, Ubuntu or Debian or all the other distros that are out there. You'd expect that. Well, I can have my code write to the standard out and it will log to a console. That doesn't exist. So when you're a developer, things that you expect to be there just aren't there. And that's why a service which is Wine, is not an emulator. It's a translation layer, very similar to what Proton is or what they are doing here for the how to write a Windows emulator for Linux from scratch. That stuff just doesn't exist. So what Wine would expect to be there, all these other libraries, all these other APIs, all these other files, they're just not part of the Stadia platform. And of course, Google could add all that stuff to it, but then that opens them up to security issues. If there's a bug in, say, this window manager or this particular library on Linux, then they have to worry about patching every single blade, every single instance. It's going to remove kind of the performance as well. When you have all this other stuff potentially running in the background, it might affect performance. So the Stadia Blade is super, super thin. It is essentially just the Linux kernel and stubs to accept input and connect to Vulkan and all the other rendering APIs. All the other APIs that are running on there, I'm sure there's the Stadia APIs and other things. So that's why Wine and Proton won't run. So when Marcin was talking about how to create an emulator for Linux, what he's actually doing is decompiling a Windows executable, finding all of the calls to the various things through DLL. So if you're familiar with Windows, Windows uses something called a dynamic link library, and that controls the communication between an application, the user space, and your kernel, which is the very, very like root level of your operating system, to kind of put it into layman's terms. So you have these DLLs that kind of run in the middle, and they handle threading and communication between the core running processes and what's running on top of it. Well, obviously a Windows DLL doesn't exist on Linux. So what he's doing is, when you're calling this DirectX call to draw a triangle to this particular part of memory, what his way of doing it, or what Google's way of doing it is take that call. The application is running that, but instead of going to the through the DLL through whatever Windows would expect, they're taking that and they're patching it so that it goes to this Vulkan way of doing it. So it's a very ingenious way of doing it, and it's a way that they can do it very easily without having to add more heavy components to all of their Linux virtual machines. They can still do what Wine does, but they're basically reinventing wine, so to speak. In watching this talk, people are like, well, you're stealing all this from the wine team and the Proton team. From what Marcin was saying, like they did a complete white room version of this where they decided, hey, we want to test if this is going to work. And they want to play it. Well, we're going to do it this way. We're going to recreate it. We're going to figure out the best way that we can do it for our hardware. So really interesting from someone that is a tech person like me. If it's not interesting to you, if you don't care the way that applications run, because who other than people like me care how applications run on computers, you just have to know that future game ports will potentially just be the Windows versions of those games running on the Linux operating system for Stadia, which is this. So Jonas in the chat room said, isn't that exactly what Wine does? It's exactly what Wine does, but Wine won't run, as I said before, on these Stadia blades because Wine requires so many other components that aren't part of the operating system that is running on these server blades. So that's why they had to reinvent the wheel, so to speak. But by reinventing the wheel and only reinventing the stuff that you need, you can be more performant from a tech standpoint. So really, really cool. There's a lot of things that are kind of in the weeds here. So if you don't care about Windows applications and how it's running, you can skip all that. But what you can know is that through Stadia's low change porting, you're going to be able to take games that run on Windows and make them run on Linux without a lot of headaches, because what Marcin's team is trying to do is implement all of the calls that would be in your standard Windows DLLs, your DirectX DLLs, and a lot of other things. So very interesting way to do it. So the thing here that I took from this article over at 9to5 Google, Stadia's low change porting will bring more Windows games from devs like Steelwood Studios, was this paragraph almost near the end saying, for the Google for Games Developer Summit at GDC 2022, the Stadia team shared progress on this toolkit, which is now referred to as low change porting. The most important change is that more than 10 partner studios are actively testing its potential to port their Windows-based games to Stadia. In fact, at least one already announced game, City Skylines, is set to arrive on Stadia in spring, and it has been brought to the service or brought to the platform by using these tools. So this isn't just theoretic. This is something that is actively being worked on for a shipping game that will be coming in the very near future. They also announced that some other services or some other developers rather or publishers are interested in low change porting and actively working on low change porting. So those are Handy Games, Legacy Games, Milestone, and Nacon, Paradox Interactive, Saber Interactive, Steelwood Studios, Team 17, and Wired Productions. So again, we're seeing that City Skylines will be coming because of this, and a lot of other games will be coming from it, including like Five Nights at Freddy's developer Steelwood Studios. There's been rumors for a while that Five Nights at Freddy's was coming to Stadia. Well, now we know why. They're using this low change toolkit to take their Windows stuff and just run it on Linux through this low change porting toolkit, which will basically take the Windows executable, run it on Stadia through an emulation layer, but through a translation layer to translate all the Windows calls and all the DirectX calls to Linux calls and Vulkan calls. And it's going to work, apparently. So Tim Schroeder, who's the CEO at Massive Mini Team through Handy Games, says, Stadia is offering a clean API and good documentation. Google provides a platform we can easily work with. Massive Mini Team and Handy Games are happy to bring over more titles in the future. So one of the big problems that developers have said is we'd love to bring more things to Stadia, but it is going to take way too much time to port our games over. We're not ready to do that right now. Well, this will hopefully for these developers not have to do that much development. They're going to bring their Windows stuff over. It's just going to run through this compatibility layer, and then they can then add the API calls to the Stadia API to do matchmaking and links for when you're saving your screenshots with your state sharing embedded in it, or CrowdPlay and all these other Stadia technologies can then be added to a game that started on Windows that is running a Windows version of the game, a 64-bit Windows version of the game. That was one caveat that he said. It only works with 64-bit applications because the way 32-bit addresses memory and other things doesn't work. So they can make it work, but it's a lot more work for the developer. Or if you already have a 64-bit game, it'll just run. Well, and it's not going to be take a USB key, plug it into your computer, drag the executable of amazinggame.exe to a folder, which then uploads it to Stadia, and it just works. But it's going to give developers a set platform and a set of APIs that's going to make all these things go faster. So they're still going to have to do some work. It's not just click and drag and run. But it's going to be a lot less effort than taking their engine, if it's a custom game engine, and changing all of the Windows and DirectX calls that might be baked into the engine to just an API call or stuff through Vulkan. So it's going to make things that much quicker for developers, which is what we, the gamers, want. We want games to come to Stadia faster. If the porting process is a month instead of 6 months, that's going to make more games come. That's going to say, okay, we just published this game. We have a 2-month period where we don't really have to work on anything except for bug fixes. We're not working on our next project for a while. Let's take this game and port it to Stadia and port it to Luna and port it to all these other cloud gaming services. The porting to Stadia is going to be more along the lines of what developers have to do now to port to Luna, which is a Windows Server version of that game running. So I'm really hopeful that by the end of this year, we're going to be getting a bunch of old games, a bunch of new games, full publishers bringing their whole game library to Stadia. This is going to give them the tools that they need to do that type of stuff, which is pretty fantastic. So we already talked a little bit about this, how to build a Windows emulator from scratch. Really not much else to say about it. If you want to check out an in-depth article, you can go over to Boiling Steam, which is PC Gaming on Linux is so tomorrow, but they talk a little bit about this stuff in better detail, how to go through all these things, how to understand what Marcin is saying, because there are some things that are a little bit more confusing as to how it is working. But it is a big announcement, and it is a very exciting announcement for us people that like to play games on Stadia, because it means that developers bringing the stuff over is going to be a lot easier. That said, if you want to get the most bang for your buck out of performance for developers that have an engine that is very resource heavy, doing it this way may not give them a working version of their engine that is as performant as they want. So a lot of games might need to be ported over the old-fashioned way, where you get a native version running on Linux through Stadia using Vulkan. You're going to get the best performance out of it. But for people that aren't like the Cyberpunks and the Assassin's Creeds and the, other big games that maybe come to the service in the future, everybody else could just use this low-change porting method, get their games running in a fraction of the time that it would take to re-engineer their whole engine. This is going to be huge for the industry. So, or for the Stadia game platform, I guess, not the whole industry, but our industry that we love about playing games on Stadia. So yeah, really, really excited about this. So there were some other things talked about, nothing, mind breaking or super exciting. But it just shows that Google is involved in bringing more people to Stadia. They spent a lot of time over this event talking about their white labeling things, their immersive stream product. So there is still the worry that a lot of people have that immersive stream is going to take games away from Stadia. The thing is, all the technology that Google builds for immersive stream is the same stuff that they're building for Stadia, or will be what they're building for Stadia. So any addition to immersive stream will eventually become an addition to Stadia. So more immersive stream customers, even if they don't at the end of the day bring their games to the Stadia store, is bulletproofing the Stadia servers that much more, which will then bring that performance to the games that are coming. But my hope is when you have immersive streams, so say you have Capcom, and if you go to Capcom.com, this doesn't exist, by the way, but let's just pretend because there was a rumor that Capcom was going to be working with Stadia or Google. You go to Capcom.com, they come out with Street Fighter 6, and there's going to be a play a 30-minute demo on Capcom's website through immersive stream. So you hit play, you don't have to log into Stadia, and you're playing a 30-minute demo of Street Fighter 6. So Capcom will have obviously had to put some work in to create that little demo thing that they're running on their website. So getting that thing running on Stadia proper is probably going to be less work. So if they're already going through the process of getting things to run through immersive stream for their own website, they get to the end of a project and they're like, hey, what if we want to bring it over to Stadia? We have a couple months. They can take all of their projects that are working for immersive stream and hopefully quickly port those over to the Stadia store and get them running. And then games like the next Street Fighter, the next Resident Evil, the next whatever will come to the platform just because they're already working in immersive stream. So, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff to be excited about. There's also still a lot of things to potentially worry about if people are worried that Stadia is going to go away and it's just going to be companies using Google for immersive stream. I get that worry. I don't think that's reality. I think Google wants this platform to exist, and they're obviously doing what they need to do to get publishers and developers interested in it. There was that revenue share change late summer, where if you are in Pro, we're sharing 70% of everybody's $10 a month with developers that are part of Pro based on how many times that you've played this game compared to the other games. So developers are happy about that. Apparently the rev share from just putting a game on store is very attractive to developers. If you can make the games that much easier to bring over to Stadia, hopefully that means a lot more publishers and developers working on the platform, bringing a lot more games to Stadia, because that's all what we want. That's what we're very excited about. So anyway, I think that's it for the Google for Games Developer Summit. Some really great stuff talked about, and I'm really excited to see kind of the fruit of this new era of Google Stadia. I hope City Skylines isn't the only game that comes through this low change porting. Hopefully we find out from a bunch of developers that, yeah, we tried bringing our game, it was going to be too much work, but then this low change porting made it a no-brainer. Those developer interviews are going to be great for the platform as a whole, because that's going to give other developers, oh, you did that and it took you how long? Hey, maybe we should look into that. Let's sign up for a dev account. Let's see if we can get some of our games moved over and ported. Wins and successes will oftentimes entice other developers to try to duplicate those wins and successes. That's why when you have a big genre on iOS that is making millions of dollars, in about 6 months, there's 1,000 other games that are very much like that one. This will be similar to that. If there's some big wins on Stadia or immersive stream using the low change porting, that's going to entice other developers and publishers to bring their products as well. So, all right, let's continue. We got a couple other quick things to talk about before we're done for the day. Get your questions in if you want. If you have any questions you want us to answer, make sure to have those tagged in through Super Chats or not. We'd love to chat about that when we get to the end of the show. Ubisoft announced that they are working on a new technology that they're calling Ubisoft Scalar. And it is a technology that is built to power the game worlds of tomorrow. So we've talked about things like this before. When Google was new, they were talking about having multiple server blades running your game. So you could have a blade that is running physics for multiple instances of the game running, and another one running graphic streaming, and another one doing this, another one doing that. And we heard through the grapevine that Ubisoft was working with Google on that to test it out and see how this stuff would work. Well, I don't know if that didn't go so well for Ubisoft, or it went really well for Ubisoft and they decided to kind of steal the idea or work on their own thing. Not really sure. But Ubisoft Scalar is a way of, I think this is a video that will show some of it, that will separate your game world into multiple cloud computing machines. So there isn't anything that we can actually see right now from Ubisoft Scalar, but or Scalar. But what they want to do is to have server clusters, so cloud computing, running the entirety of the game world. So you could have a server that is, or I guess a collection of servers that is running the geometry for the world. So this is the geometry, this is the physics around all that stuff. Then you can have another set of computers that is doing all the AI for stuff that is running. So there might be 1,000 NPCs walking around this world, I don't know, being more than the standard NPC you would see in a game. So let's pretend this is a big MMO. You could have a collection of servers that is running all of the NPCs, and then you could have other machines for this. And what Ubisoft is quick to say, that this isn't game streaming. So this isn't a way to have a game running in the cloud and then stream it to a console or Stadia or a computer. This is a way to have all your game assets in this huge cloud computing cluster, and then send the stuff that a user needs to see to that user when they need to see it. So very similar to how modern game engines work now, where you could be in a big open world. It doesn't take like the entirety of, say, Assassin's Creed Valhalla. It doesn't take the entirety of the game world and load it into memory. But it does things called streaming. So as you move towards an area where the game doesn't have data, it streams in that data, gets rid of stuff that is behind you that you don't need anymore, and keeps all that stuff in memory. But through Ubisoft Scalar, what the idea is that no longer needs to happen from something that is managed in memory on your console, or from disk from your console, or from your PC, or whatever. It's just going to take that data and stream it to you live from the cloud servers. So that gives Ubisoft the ability to have crazy in-game events that will affect every single person playing that game at once. They could make a change, like make a mountain appear in the world through this computer cluster, and every client that is connected to it would then see that happen in real time. Just a really different way of game development, or of attempting game development, bringing all that stuff to the cloud, and then having every client or every version of the game running on, say, an Xbox, PC, PlayStation, or Stadia is really just a dumb client for what is there. Gandara in the chat room, it is exactly what Stadia was working on for Game Bus. So, and Ubisoft was part of that Game Bus discussion. So it makes me wonder if this is maybe Game Bus Plus, Ubisoft working on it, maybe in partnership with Google through their cloud computing and all the other stuff that they have, immersive stream and all these other things. Maybe this is Ubisoft working together with Ubisoft. Ubisoft has come out and said this is to power the next 10 years of games, so it's not like it's something that is going to hit right away. Very, very interesting. Nothing else to show about this. This is a concept. Maybe we'll see some games in the near future that use this service, but it really shows that Ubisoft is thinking to the future, and the future to Ubisoft is cloud gaming, cloud streaming, all that stuff. So I don't think Ubisoft is going to be giving up on Stadia anytime soon, and hopefully this means that Ubisoft is working with Google for Scalar or the other stuff that Game Bus or whatever Stadia's renamed version of that is now, if they've renamed it. So anyway, very, very cool. Last but not least, last thing that we want to talk about for everybody that is still watching or listening, Ubisoft has opened up Tom Clancy X Defiance beta registration for Stadia now. So in the past, you could get PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Now you can get PC, PS4, Xbox, Xbox Series, PlayStation 5, Stadia, and Luna are available things to choose. So if you want to join the beta, you can definitely go over to the beta signup page and you can choose Stadia as your thing. So hopefully in the near future, the betas will be announced when the beta is going to come out and you'll be able to play that beta on Google Stadia. I was previously signed up for PC. Now I am signed up for Stadia. So I hope to get a Stadia beta at some point in the near future, because that would be a very, very fun way to play that game. So All right. I'm going to quickly go through some of the chats to see if there's anything that pops out at me. Anthony Talcutt sent in a $5 super chat. Thanks, Anthony. You are awesome. Congrats, Bill. Also, Q2 is just around the corner for the deck. Yes, I'm Q2 2022. I can't wait to play the thing. Yeah, Jared Bruner. It's not called Tom Clancy's X-Defiant anymore. It's just called X-Defiant. But I think on this page, they talk... Does it say Tom Clancy? Oh, they actually got Tom Clancy right out of the thing. So it is just X-Defiant now. It's not Tom Clancy anymore. That was one of the big complaints about the game. It's like, well, this isn't a Tom Clancy game. So that is a good thing to see. So anyway, yeah, I think that's going to about do it. I don't see any other chats, any other questions in the chat room. I probably missed a lot of questions. It's hard to... hit all the buttons, change slides, and also stay on top of chat. So if I missed your question, my apologies. Wasn't really trying to do it on purpose, but sometimes that type of stuff happens, whether you want it to or not. All right, I'm going to get some music going, turn that down, make sure we have some stuff. But that's going to about do it for us here at StadiaCast. So thanks for joining us for yet another solo show, another solo StadiaCast. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Make sure to check out nerdnest.tv for all of our content. Check out nerdnest.tv/discord for our Discord server. You can come join us. You can actually come to our Discord and congratulate Bill on becoming a new grandpa after that on our Discord channel. I'm sure Bill would love to see that. So anyway, that's going to do it for me, Lloyd Hannison from the Nerd Nest. Thank you for joining me for yet another Sunday morning StadiaCast. Love doing these. Love interacting with each and every one of you. So thanks for coming out. And yeah, that's going to do it for me. Take it easy, everybody, and we'll talk to you here in the next one.